Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha, good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And if you don't listen on the radio, the podcasts are all online at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Just click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. A week ago, my guest was Tina Neal of Hawaiian Volcano Observatory with an update on our most active volcanoes, Kilauea and Mauna Loa. At that time, I said our guest this week would be Hawaii County Mayor Harry Kim, but Mayor Kim postponed. So today, we'll talk more about one aspect of our volcanoes that is an ongoing annoyance to many, and that is VOG, our word for those gas emissions that come out of the volcano and produce air that can be kind of hard to see through and can have negative effects on us. We have two folks, Tamar Elias, whose job at Hawaiian Volcano Observatory is pretty much working on VOG, and John Peard with State Department of Health. Good morning. Aloha, Tamar.
Aloha. Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning, Sherry.
Tamar Elias is a gas geochemist who obviously has a great study laboratory with the volcanoes here on this island. She got her degree in chemistry from UC Santa Cruz and has been studying volcanic gases here in the state for more than 20 years. She's also worked around the world as part of her involvement in the USGS Volcano Disaster Assistance Program. Tamar was also a key developer of the Hawaii Interagency VOG Information Dashboard, a website that has lots of VOG information and which can be accessed via the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory website. John Peard is with Department of Health. He'll talk about the air monitoring advisories and public health information on VOG. John has worked in the Hilo Field Office for the Department of Health for the last 10 years. His primary responsibility involves the oversight of assessments and cleanups of contaminated soil or groundwater sites here on Hawaii Island. So I'd like to start tomorrow with gas geochemistry. It's one of the key focus areas of the USGS Hawaiian Volcano Observatory. What exactly is gas geochemistry?
Gas geochemists study the amount and the composition of the gases that are emitted by volcanoes. And that's mainly what I do as well. Lately, I've been working on some of the VOG projects. Gases provide important information about what's happening beneath the surface of a volcano. Different gases are released from the magma at different pressures or depths, and so they can be used as a fingerprint to understand better what's going on subsurface in a volcano.
Tamar, start us out at the beginning. What exactly is VOG?
VOG is the hazy air pollution that's generated from Kilauea volcano. The main culprit in the formation of VOG is sulfur dioxide gas, which we lovingly refer to as SO2. As sulfur dioxide gas is released from the volcano, it reacts and converts in the atmosphere with moisture and dust and other gases and particles and sunlight, and it converts from a gas to a particle. This happens over time and over distance. And so VOG is composed mainly of tiny particles, sulfate particles, so sulfuric acid particles, which are actually little droplets, liquid droplets, and also neutral sulfate particles, for instance, ammonium sulfate, which is in fertilizer, and then also unreacted or unconverted or leftover sulfur dioxide gas. And the amount of sulfur dioxide gas in VOG is a function of how long that volcanic plume has had to react and convert in the atmosphere.
You mentioned that VOG is really the volcanic emissions coming from Kilauea, and that's certainly today. But one thing that intrigued me, Tamar and John, just for the audience's information, were both part of a forum at West Hawaii Civic Center on February 16th that I was lucky enough to moderate. And I had talked earlier that day with Jim Kohikawa, who's one of the scientists here at Hawaiian Volcano Observatory, where we're recording the interview. And he mentioned that back in 1839 and 1840, there were articles in the Oahu papers about what they called at that time was volcanic weather. It was the volcanic emissions, the VOG, coming from Mauna Loa. Do all volcanoes emit some kind of gas, as you are describing, when they're in an eruptive phase?
Yeah, and there's different styles of eruption. our volcano here persistently degasses. So on a daily basis, it's emitting large amounts of gas. There are other volcanoes around the world that also persistently degas, and it's become an area of study, and there's a high degree of interest in it. You know, gas can be a precursor for an eruption. And so it's one of the reasons why gas geochemists study gases is that as magma moves up towards the surface, volcanic gases are released as the pressure is released. So they can be a precursor to, or they can give information about the eruptive status of a volcano. So some volcanoes are going to emit very large plumes of gas and ash during an explosive eruption. And at Kilauea, we have a slightly different kind of eruption where we're persistently degassing.
I know that sometimes out of Kilauea volcano, we get the Pohoihoi lava, the smooth, ropey kind. Sometimes we get the A'a lava, which is the clinkly, more rocky kind. Are there different amounts of emissions coming from the different kinds of lava?
The magma erupts as lava, and then the lava can take either the form of the Pohoihoi or the A'a. That lava that generates those two forms is basically identical. A'a will frequently form when there is a steep slope, and so there's a physical and mechanical difference to that lava that started as the same stuff. So the amount of gas that's emitted from Pohoihoi lava flows or A'a lava flows is the same.
Okay, interesting. Obviously, we're here talking mostly about Kilauea volcano because that is our constantly erupting volcano right now. But you mentioned that gas emissions can be a precursor, and I'm imagining that's why you are also monitoring Mauna Loa, because Mauna Loa is not in an active eruptive stage right now. But is that why you are doing monitoring of the gas at Mauna Loa?
Yes, and at Kilauea, because we can track the status of an eruption by looking at the gases. So some of the gases are emitted very deep, like carbon dioxide starts bubbling out of the magma at around 60 kilometers depth. But other gases, like sulfur dioxide, the magma has to be within less than a kilometer of the surface. So if you are suddenly measuring sulfur dioxide on a volcano, which previously was not emitting sulfur dioxide, then you have some sort of an indication that the magma is actually quite close to the surface.
Do you know why that is, that it only emits SO2 when it's very close to the surface?
It has to do with solubility. How well do different gases stay dissolved in magma? CO2, carbon dioxide, it doesn't like staying dissolved. And it's going to have something to do with the polarity of the molecules themselves. But really, gases coming out of the volcano are very similar to the gases that come out of your soda. You start with the fluid under pressure, and the gases are actually dissolved in the fluid. If you release the pressure, that fluid vesiculates or makes bubbles, and then those bubbles rise up through the fluid, and then they can be released into the atmosphere. And that's really the same thing that happens in a volcano.
Okay, so what you're saying is the volcano is like my Coca-Cola, and it's also like my champagne?
It is definitely more like your champagne, but yes.
Tamar, you've talked about the different chemicals in VOG. A lot of people might look at our volcanic haze and say, oh, that's just like smog. Can you tell us the difference between smog, which comes from combusting fossil fuels like cars, versus the VOG that's coming out of our volcano? Are the chemicals the same?
That's a really important question, and one that I think our population on the island needs to tune into. There are many things in industrial or urban smog that are not present in VOG. Industrial pollution contains ozone, it contains hydrocarbons from the fossil fuels you just mentioned, and also oxides of nitrogen. None of those are in volcanic pollution. None of those are in the VOG themselves. I'm not saying we don't have those in the islands, because certainly we are generating some industrial pollution in the islands. While we can't control the emissions from the volcano, we actually can address the issue of urban and industrial pollution. There's a lot known about the health impacts, or there's more known about the health impacts of industrial pollution, because On the mainland, there's large populations. There have been many studies. Looking at health impacts with VOG is very interesting because we're missing some of those key components that people on the mainland have been studying for so long.
How exactly, Tamar, do you measure VOG?
This is a good question, and I'm going to start by clarifying some terms. At Hawaiian Volcano Observatory, we measure how much SO2 gas is coming out of the volcano. We measure that, we report it in tons per day. VOG is the result of that SO2 gas. In order to measure VOG, we measure the SO2 concentration in the ambient air and the particles in the ambient air. Those are the two components of VOG most likely to impact people. For measuring the SO2 coming out of the volcano, we use an instrument that measures ultraviolet light, so sunlight. Sulfur dioxide gas absorbs sunlight. We measure how much sunlight is making it through the SO2 plume, and from that we can calculate how much SO2 gas is coming out of the volcano.
Tell us how you gather that.
We put a spectrometer on top of the car, and we drive the car underneath the volcanic plume. And it's a little bit like gauging a stream, where you want to know how wide is the stream, how deep is the stream, and how fast is the stream flowing. We measure that using this spectrometer, and so we can get the width, the depth, and then we use the wind speed to calculate how fast the plume is blowing.
Tell us where you are actually measuring this VOG.
The volcano has two main points where it's degassing sulfur dioxide gas. One is at the summit, and one is at the rift zone. Those are the locations of the two eruptions. We quantify the gas from the summit eruption by driving along Crater Rim Drive, and we quantify the gas coming from the East Rift eruption from Pu'u'o'o and the surrounding areas by driving along Chain of Craters Road, and the trade winds blow that plume across the road where we can quantify it.
So you sort of have to pick your times when you do the measurements based on how the wind is blowing.
Exactly. The wind is a critical factor in blowing that plume across the road. And we thank the National Park Service for making those roads so that we can drive across the plume and quantify how much gas is coming out.
Clearly, Crater Rim Drive, you're very close to Halema'uma'u, but are you close enough to Pu'u'o'o to really get a good, accurate measurement? Because Pu'u'o'o is a little bit further away, I think.
Yes, Pu'u'o'o is further away. It makes the measurement geometry more challenging, but during a strong trade wind, that plume blows right across the road. This is a world-class volcano for making these kinds of measurements. We probably have it easier than most of the other people in the world.
Which is, I imagine, why you get scientists from all over the world coming to do their own scientific experiments.
Yes, there are lots and lots of interested scientists who want to come and do science here, and it is the world-class natural lab.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken. We're here every Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM here on Hawaii Island. And if you don't listen on the radio, you may always listen to the podcasts of this and previous Island Issues interviews, including last week's, which was an update on both Kilauea and Mauna Loa, our most active volcanoes on this island. The podcasts are online at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Today we're talking with Tamar Elias, a gas geochemist from Hawaiian Volcano Observatory, and John Peard of State Department of Health. Our topic is VOG. Let's get back to it. We see the volcanic plume coming out of Halema'uma'u. We see it coming out of Pu'u'o'o. But when the lava goes into the ocean, there's a tremendous cloud of, I would call it volcanic steam, but is that also emitting SO2 that would turn into VOG?
We refer to the plume that is generated when that very hot lava flows into the cold ocean water as lays or lava haze. In this steam plume, there is hydrochloric acid. So that very hot lava boils seawater to dryness and generates HCl or hydrochloric acid. And that plume is also laced with concentrated seawater, very briny, and also volcanic glass, little shards of volcanic glass. That plume is mainly a hazard to people close to that ocean entry. The hydrochloric acid is very water-soluble, And so it actually gets rained out of the plume fairly close to that ocean entry. So the hazards from that plume are mainly to the people who visit that entry, either from the land or from the sea.
Vog travels around our island. Talk about what determines exactly, I'm assuming it's the wind, but what determines where the vog goes?
Yeah, in terms of the dispersion, the wind is the most important factor. There's a couple of other factors that determine where the vog accumulates and how much. One of the factors is how much gas is coming out of the volcano. When you have more gas coming out, you're going to have more vog generated. The wind is the most important in terms of distributing those emissions around the island, but the concentration of vog and also the composition of the vog is dependent on how far away you are from that volcanic emission source. People who are far downwind along the Kona coast or on the other islands, they're going to be exposed mainly to those particles, the PM2.5, these small particles that are very effective at scattering light. So once the SO2 has had plenty of opportunity to react and convert in the atmosphere, it's going to be completely converted to particles. So the further downwind you are, the more particles you have in your vog, and the closer you are to the vents, the more unreacted sulfur dioxide gas you're going to have in the vog. So areas like Pahala, Ocean View, even South Kona to some extent, will still have some unreacted sulfur dioxide gas in the vog. And people who are further away along the Kona coast or on Oahu, Maui, up the island chain, they're going to have predominantly particles. When the winds reverse and we get Kona winds, then East Hawaii is impacted. The vog in East Hawaii has both unreacted sulfur dioxide gas and particles in their mix.
Both of you have been working on projects that really talk about health impacts. How health impacting is the vog when it's closer, like when it comes to Hilo or is in volcano, versus health impacting when it gets around to the Kona side? John, give us a sense of this.
Both the main components that are health impacting, the SO2 gas as well as the fine particulates, the PM2.5, are primarily respiratory irritants. So that's the focus of the health impact studies, is respiratory irritation and respiratory effects. Where the vog is close to the volcano and you have both SO2 gas and the fine particulates, then you're being impacted by both those respiratory irritants. SO2 gas is considered more irritant than the particulates, so more potentially health impacting, especially for someone who has asthma or an existing respiratory condition. Further away from the volcanic sources on the west side and other islands, they're going to be primarily impacted by the particulates, also considered a respiratory irritant and can cause respiratory symptoms. People are wondering about long-term effects. That's still being studied. But the SO2 gas is not there, so not as irritant and not considered as potentially health impacting as areas that have both the SO2 and particulates.
Tamar, you mentioned you measure volcanic emissions in tons. I think you wanted to add something to that statement before I ask you the how much question.
That's right. It's the emissions, the SO2 gas, that we're measuring in tons per day. When you go to measure the vog, you're actually measuring the concentration of gas and particles in the ambient air. Those are in parts per million or in micrograms per cubic meter.
Give us a sense of how many tons are coming out of Halemaumau and Pu'uo'o and compare it to, is there more coming out now than there was in 2008 when Halemaumau became active again, or is there less?
The emissions from Kilauea volcano increased fairly dramatically in 2008. That summit vent opened up. There was a large increase in SO2 emitted from the summit of the volcano. At that time, the volcano was emitting over 10,000 tons of SO2 a day. Things have decreased since then. So the heyday of SO2 release was 2008 through 2010. Since that time, the emissions have gone down somewhat. There was a big change in 2008 in where the gas was being released. Prior to 2008, most of the SO2 was being released from the Pu'uo'o vent and the surrounding area on the East Rift Zone on the flank of the volcano. Since 2008, most of the gas is being released from the summit area of the volcano around Halemaumau. This change in focal point of gas release has impacted downwind communities severely. Now that the main focus of release is Halemaumau, that plume travels along the flank of Mauna Loa and directly impacts Pahala and Ocean View and communities downwind under those prevailing trade wind conditions.
I want to talk a little bit about actual health impacts. And John, you addressed this a little bit. I know that you two have been working with Dr. Elizabeth Tam, who did and actually is ongoing, but started studies on keiki lung health back in 2002 and followed nearly 2,000 children on this island on a yearly basis, trying to determine if VOG, volcanic emissions, SO2, were the cause of more asthma. And when I interviewed her for Island Issues several years ago, she said what they were finding was sort of a surprise, that children's lung health was actually more impacted by secondhand smoke in the home or in the vehicle and by mold than it was by the volcanic emissions. John, you are with Department of Health. Department of Health is not, to my knowledge, studying the health impacts, but what have you learned about the health impacts from a lot of the work that you have been doing that you might share with us?
Well, I would reiterate what you mentioned that Dr. Tam has emphasized to you in the past, that the work that I'm familiar with that has been done up to now has been showing clearly that the health impact of the VOG components cause symptoms. And we all intuitively know that if you've lived on the island for a while, it causes sore throat, cough, headaches, other things, common symptoms that people report from VOG. And that has been confirmed by studies from back in the 90s that started here and workers in the park, all the way through to Elizabeth Tam's most recent publication in 2016. The longer-term effects and the causes of health effects beyond symptoms, underlying causes of disease, is still a question. In the first publication that came out of Dr. Tam's work, they did not find an association with VOG causing asthma, causing chronic wheezing, chronic bronchitis. They weren't able to document that in the part of the work that was published in 2016. She continues to work on additional publications out of that work that she did over a 10-year period following the kids. And so we're looking forward to other insights that come out of that publication. But so far, the evidence has confirmed that symptoms are being caused, but underlying disease has not been confirmed. Part of the reason might be, or that Elizabeth Tam has alluded to, is this different nature of the chemistry of the VOG, that it's acidic but doesn't have a lot of the kind of contaminants that have been documented to cause disease on the mainland, the hydrocarbons, all the car-related, industrial-related pollutants. So our VOG is cleaner than that, in that it doesn't have all those other carcinogens and contaminants. It's mainly acid VOG. That could have something to do with different health effects, of course, and that continues to be studied, and we're trying to understand that.
I know in the studies, Dr. Tam mentioned they did specifically look at children, let's say in South Kona, which consistently has a lot of heavy VOG. Was there any more evidence of asthma there than there was, say, over Hamakua side or where they don't really have a lot of VOG?
No, that was the hypothesis, thinking that the higher levels of the particulates over there might contribute to causation of asthma in that population. But comparing around the island different populations of kids on different areas of the island, they actually found higher rates of asthma in other areas, and it did not support that VOG causes high rates of asthma on the west side there.
What I took away from Dr. Tam's work really was that smoking is not good and mold is not really good. The other thing that you two have reinforced for me today, and Dr. Tam's work shows that, is that putting more hydrocarbons into our atmosphere here on the island is probably not a great idea. When I look at Oahu, when they have days where they complain a lot about the VOG, they also have a population of 1.3 million people. And I don't know how many cars that equates to, but they certainly have a lot of traffic. I'm wondering, has there been any look on Oahu at the impact of the car emissions, the smog, as well as the VOG
I do know the Department of Health has air monitoring stations. They can look at the different sources of contaminants, actually look at the contaminants that come from cars. Therefore, they can look at those different sources and tell how great that is on Oahu and know that that's a big factor compared to, say, bog.
Sherry, you had mentioned volcano weather, that in the 1800s there was documentation of volcano weather. Now, when there's volcano weather on Oahu, there are other contaminants that are going to accumulate. And the same volcano weather that brings the volcanic emissions to Oahu also is going to have the industrial and urban pollutants concentrate there. Also, there is some suggestion that molds and pollens would also accumulate during volcano weather. We don't want to blame everything on the VOG if it's not the VOG. If you can separate what is from VOG and what isn't from VOG, you stand a better chance of being able to address your issues.
I think your point about moving toward less sources of pollution on the Kona side because you experience all that VOG is reinforced by the fact of the unique situation of that Kona Basin with the onshore-offshore winds. The VOG is actually entrained in that and kind of hangs in there because of the unique weather patterns in there. So that not only contributes to higher levels of VOG or the VOG getting trapped in there, but then if you add sources from cars, industry, etc., that area, I think, is vulnerable to increases of pollution there.
John, I know the Department of Health has VOG monitors around the island. Give us a picture of where the monitors are, what they tell us.
The Department of Health Clean Air Branch has put out 6 regulatory-grade, high-quality air monitors across Hawaii Island. The monitors are located in Hilo, near Hilo Hospital. There's one out in Puna that does not monitor SO2 or PM2.5. That's next to the geothermal plant and monitors hydrogen sulfide. There's a monitor at the Mountain View Elementary School. There are monitors in Pahala at the high school, in Ocean View at the fire station, and then north of Captain Cook at the Konawaena High School. Those are the main Department of Health monitors. Then the park maintains several high-quality monitors in the park at the Visitor Center and Jaeger Museum.
When you say high-quality monitors, what exactly are you talking about?
Because the Clean Air Branch monitors air to determine compliance and to determine whether air pollutants are over a level that would trigger control of sources, the monitors are very high quality, and these monitoring stations cost upwards to $100,000 to $130,000 to install, and they require a full-time technician on the island to maintain them and additional support from Oahu. They are a significant investment and cost for the department.
Of course, something you said there sort of made me chuckle. It was more or less fix the problem at its source. You can't fix the problem of fog at its source. So clearly that's not the Department of Health's intent with that.
That's right. And the Clean Air Branch's involvement in the whole volcanic emissions and VOG issue starts and stops at these monitoring stations because VOG is a natural event and they can't control the source. Then they can't permit them, regulate them, etc.
Understanding that Madam Pele just won't be regulated, I'd like to know what the Department of Health would suggest to mitigate the impact of VOG on a person if they're bothered by it, other than moving off the island or moving out of the state.
Good question. An interagency group has recently updated all our public information on VOG to provide basic information about VOG, where it is, levels of VOG, as well as prevention measures people can take. We've suggested in this new guidance material, we've suggested a variety of things. One important one is just to get to know about VOG weather patterns and VOG levels in your area. Tamar has pointed out it's very important to know that exposures are different on the west side than they are closer to the volcano. So if you're on the west side, you're going to be focusing on particulate exposure, this PM2.5 monitoring data. If you're closer to the volcano, you have to worry about both SO2 gas as well as particulates. By getting familiar with the data, there are at least 3 or 4 websites out there that provide real-time data. The information from these monitoring stations that I mentioned are fed into websites real-time. So The SO2 gas is monitored every minute, and then averaged over a 15-minute period, and then posted on the website. So you'll see when you go to these websites, that information is updated for SO2 gas every 15 minutes. For particulates, it collects the fine particulates over an hour period and then measures it. So those particulate measures are updated every hour. By going to those websites, looking at that data, you can get an idea of the levels, how it changes over time, and times where the levels may be higher and lower. And to make it much easier to follow, rather than looking at particular parts per million or micrograms per cubic meter, everything is color-coded to a system of green, yellow, orange, red. Go to these websites. If you see green, you know it's good. And when I say good, as far as the level that we believe will impact your health, you can monitor those sites and see, is the area I live in, does it ever go yellow? Does it ever go orange? And when and where? And look for patterns and get familiar with that. So that's one thing you can do to really help understand your situation first and what affects that. Then beyond that, common sense things like no smoking, stay hydrated, which helps keep your upper respiratory system functioning better. Some people find the use of over-the-counter products to manage their congestion or irritation useful. Beyond that, things like if the VOG is high, probably the two most prominent recommendations is to, one, reduce exertion. By reducing exertion, especially outdoors we're talking about, you're not going to be breathing in that VOG deeply into your lungs. They are respiratory irritants. So the heavier you're breathing, the more you're breathing through your mouth, bypassing the filter in your nose and going straight to your lungs. Another primary prevention method would be to go indoors. Typically, when people go indoors, especially if you can close up your house in some fashion, the levels will be lower on the inside, at least for a certain period of time, than they are on the outside. So by going indoors, you can lower your exposures. Another one might be the use of room air cleaner. A high-quality room air cleaner in a room that is shut off could help people. For example, people that have asthma. Some people move to different areas of the island.
How about air conditioning? Does that help?
Air conditioners aren't designed specifically for filtering VOG. But if you have air conditioning, generally those houses are much tighter because you're trying to keep in that cold air. So tighter homes provide more protection than looser homes from the outdoor air. There's also moisture associated with air conditioners, condenser coils. To the extent that some of that air pollution is water soluble, it could help reduce some of the SO2 gas effects, although as far as I know, that hasn't been studied. And then finally, I would just caution people who have air conditioners. Most of them have outdoor intakes, so they actually bring in outdoor air as a function of the air conditioners, and they'll have a setting on the air conditioner to shut off that outdoor intake. So if VOG is elevated and you're going indoors to try to reduce your exposure to VOG, you'd want to put your air conditioner on a recirculation mode, not pulling in the outdoor air, because then, you'd be pulling in the VOG directly into your home.
Does the Department of Health have any plans to add any additional air quality monitoring stations?
Not that I know of.
John, you've mentioned this VOG dashboard, and I have been there, and I think it's a really excellent, outstanding resource. You've got all kinds of information about mitigation, about what it is. You've got all the information about the monitors. Tell us how people find the VOG dashboard, please.
The dashboard is located at www.ivhhn.org/VOG, V-O-G.
Okay, it's ivhhn.org/VOG. And I also have to say that it can be accessed through the Hawaiian Volcano Observatory website. That's where I went to find it because I love the HVO website. It's really completely informative.
You might be interested to know that the IVHHN stands for International Volcanic Health Hazard Network, which is headquartered in England at Durham University. And they are actually hosting the website.
We work in partnerships, which has been really excellent, allowing us to leverage people's resources and people's knowledge and skills. Claire Horrible is as part of the Durham University Institute of Hazard, Risk, and Resilience. The work that she's done in Hawaii and that we do with her directly feeds in to that framework for them.
Well, thank you very much to them for hosting it, and it's really an excellent resource, and I urge people to go there. We are out of time. John Peard, what have we not talked about that you'd like to mention?
A word of caution. Our monitoring stations are limited. The weather and geography here is extremely complex. The source emissions change over time. We're trying to get the best information we can, but the bottom line is we can't know and predict the levels of VOG that may impact your health ahead of time. The bottom line is make sure that you're watching your own health and taking actions to protect yourself from VOG if you're feeling that you're being impacted.
John, thank you so much for being with us today. I very much appreciate it. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you.
Tamar Elias, gas geochemist with Hawaiian Volcano Observatory. What would you like to say in closing?
We are working on developing a forecasting capability in partnership with University of Hawaii Manoa. And so perhaps the future will be brighter in terms of knowing how to plan your activities for least VOG impact.
Thank you so much, Tamar Elias, for being with us. Aloha.
Thanks, Sherry.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. And today we talked with John Peard of Department of Health, and we talked with Tamar Elias of Hawaiian Volcano Observatory about one of our very favorite topics on the island, and that is VOG. I will see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.